I'm Clay Pigeon. Welcome to the Wake and Bake Morning Show podcast. It's a weekly digest of some of the segments and moments that make up the Wake and Bake Morning Show on WFMU. Of course, you can listen live to Wake and Bake Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern on WFMU.org. Join me live every morning for the full show. It includes great music, chair throwing, pixie dust, and all-around good vibes.
Oh my God, the man is a maniac.
You can also hear the full show on streaming archives at WFMU.org/playlists/WA. The Wake and Bake Animal of the Week is the armadillo. Armadillos are mammals with leathery armor shells.
All my men wear English leather, or they wear nothing at all.
Their name means little armored one in Spanish. The average length of an armadillo is around 30 inches, but the giant armadillo grows up to 6 feet long and weighs up to 120 pounds. Tiny pink fairy armadillos, just 5.5 inches long. Armadillos come from South America. They came north through the Isthmus of Panama during the Pleistocene period.
Dogs, bloody war.
Avenge me!
Dogs, bloody war.
Avenge me!
Armadillos have bad eyes. They use their nose to locate food. And oh, how they dig to make dens and find their dinners. Nowadays, they're as far north as Nebraska,
Indiana,
and as far east as Florida.
Fort Myers ended up as one of the warmest cities in the entire country on Monday, topping out with a record-breaking 91-degree temperature.
Armadillos eat bugs and grubs and soft invertebrates. When threatened, armadillos sometimes roll up into a ball. Some armadillos bolt 4 feet in the air when they're surprised. Oh, and they get hit by lots of cars. Armadillos help us.
Yeah.
They're used in the study of leprosy. They're one of the few animals that can get it. They're vulnerable because their body temperature's low. Leprosy loves that. Humans can get leprosy from armadillos by touching them or by eating armadillo meat. Armadillos always have 4 identical babies. We love armadillos at Wake and Bake. We hope you do too.
Wednesday, October 10th, 2010. Manhattan's 311 helpline received a torrent of calls regarding the appearance of a number of shimmering objects floating high above the intersection of 23rd and 8th Avenue.
There is something up there, and there's been a crowd of people at the corner of 8th and 23rd Street trying to figure out exactly what it is.
People on the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on that magical night.
Both vehicular and pedestrian traffic ground to a halt, as people stopped to look upwards.
Our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world.
Despite investigations mounted by both the NYPD and the FAA, there seems to be no clear answer to as what thousands of people saw that day.
A New York witness at Saranac Lake reported watching a sphere-shaped UFO move overhead the size of a football stadium.
Only days ago, the Department of Defense released two videos from its recently declassified Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, which purport to show near encounters with unidentified aerial vehicles, which maneuver in ways considered impossible under classical physics.
It was kept a secret, nobody even knew that the program existed, and in fact, lots of people in the Pentagon don't even know it exists. So it's barely been kept quiet because the information is very, very sensitive.
For WFMU, this is Gabriel Cohen.
Well, with a little bit of luck, we've got Scott Wiener on the phone here. Scotty, are you there?
Oh, I'm here.
Scott, man, it's so good to talk to you. Let me start my Italian music, or as I used to say growing up in Iowa, Italian music. I want that Italian salad dressing, Ma.
Turn it up. Hey.
There we go. Hey, Scotty, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, you are the minister of good pizza. You are a New York City pizza tour guide. Is that right?
That is accurate. Yeah, I run tours all over the city of all the great pizzerias.
And you're a holder of the Guinness World Record for the largest pizza box collection. That's right?
That is accurate, yeah.
Tell us about that, Scott.
Well, you know, I started collecting pizza boxes maybe about 9 years ago, and you know, I would save a box that just looked different from all the drab usual boxes, and before I knew it, I had 500 pizza boxes.
Wow.
Apparently that's more than anybody else. So
hey Scott,
I have 1,400. So.
I got to ask you, do you try to get them clean? Do you ask these places to send you a clean one?
Yeah, you know, I always get a clean pizza box. I very rarely out of boxes anyway.
Right.
I don't really like what they do to the taste of the pizza, but, you know, I get them sent to me from all over the world. People will send me boxes from, I have 75 different countries covered, and I think as of next week, I should have all continents covered.
Hey.
Now, Scott, are you alone in this type of collecting, or are there others around the world who do the same thing?
Well, you know, yeah, it's easy to have a world record when there's nobody else collecting the same thing, and I'm afraid that I am in that category. I don't think there's a single other real collector of pizza boxes.
I just wondered if it was like stamps or something where there's like ultra rare, like pizza boxes from 1899
or something. This is new. This is how it could be. You know, in 10, 20 years, it could become a really competitive hobby.
Yeah, I'm really hoping somebody else takes the world record from me because then at least I'll have someone else to talk to about this thing.
So what do you do, Scott, for a living?
Oh, I do pizza tours.
Right, okay, pizza tours. So is this something that you do for a company or it's your own thing?
I started a company about 10 years ago. It's called Scott's Pizza Tours.
Right.
And there are six of us who run the tours. And it's like every day of the week. We do public tours and private tours. And you sign up and we take you into the different kitchens. And we eat slices and we do deep analysis of the history, culture, technology, science. Every detail of the pizza.
How can we find you online?
I'm right at scottspizzatours.com.
And if you're coming in from out of town, it might be kind of a fun thing, right?
Yeah, we get some tourists sometimes who you really have to kind of dig around because we don't advertise. We do one specific thing and that's it.
Right.
We only do tours of pizzerias.
Now, Scott, what is your personal favorite kind of pizza? I like that Hawaiian pineapple and ham. What do you like?
You know, I really like just a cheese pizza or a margarita pizza. Real simple.
Strip it down simple. Right. Now, you've got something going on at the Hoboken Public Library Thursday?
Yeah, this Thursday they're going to be screening a documentary that was made about the tours and just about kind of my pizza-eating lifestyle. The documentary came out last year and was made by this company out of Brooklyn. And, they just followed me around for 10 months and shot a bunch of footage and...
What time's the screening?
Scott, what time is it?
I think it's at 6 o'clock.
But that's Thursday evening at the Hoboken Public Library?
That is correct.
Hey, hey, cool. That sounds awesome.
Scott, thanks for your time today. What's your message to our listeners? Scott, an uplifting message from the pizza guy himself, New York City pizza tour guide Scott Wiener. What do you say, Scott?
Oh, my message is to just enjoy every slice. You know, there's no bad pizza. There's just sometimes there's the right time, the right slice.
A slice of life, literally. Thanks, Scott, for your time. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again, all right?
Sounds good. Have a good one.
There
he goes. There he goes, Scott Wiener.
I'm hungry. I want breakfast pizza now.
I know. All the listeners are like, pizza with exclamation points. Boys, if you... That's it. Turn that spotlight around and shine it brightly on one very special community in our listening area. Our Civic Showcase Spotlight community, Wayne, New Jersey. Wayne is in Passaic County. It's about 22 miles northwest of Jersey City if you're driving. Wayne's population, 54,717, and it's growing. In 1694, the British sent in a young surveyor named Robert Schuyler to spy on the French and see if they were in cahoots with the Lenni-Lenape Indians, trying to get them to rebel against the British. What Schuyler found instead was a peaceful, verdant valley where the Lenape raised their crops. In time, a contingency of 7 Englishmen bought from the Lenape 5,000 acres, which they called Pompton Valley. The city of Wayne, New Jersey, was named for Revolutionary War General Anthony Wayne, who had sat so erectly on his horse. In the 18th and the 19th centuries, Wayne was a farm community that catered to the many whims of area farmers. The Morris Canal ran through Wayne, and on it coal came from Pennsylvania, and produce was ferried to market. In the 19th century, the railroads came. And by the 20th century, wealthy New Yorkers flocked to Wayne from Manhattan and Brooklyn to rent the cute summer bungalows and to loll by the lazy rivers. Eventually, homes were built for factory workers and farmland became residential land. Today, New Jersey, Route 23, U.S. Route 46, Interstate 80, these make Wayne easy to get to.
Yeah.
Wayne. Notable people from Wayne include director Cecil B. DeMille.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
George Washington, first president of the United States, lived in Day Mansion during the Revolutionary War before the area was called Wayne. Wayne.
Woo!
Wayne.
Yes.
Wayne.
Whoa!
Wayne. And Tom Cruise, the actor, is from Wayne, New Jersey.
I love you. You complete me. And I just had...
Shut up. You had me at hello.
We hope you're listening. Wayne, New Jersey, we'd very much like to be your radio station. Here's someone I always enjoy, Kurt Chalky. Got Chalk with your word of the week, Kurt.
Thanks, Clay. You know, the internet brings us worlds of knowledge.
We're all experts in the arts and sciences after just a few clicks. I mean, look at me. I'm no linguist. I'm just willing to spend a little time each week looking up word derivations so I can record this spot for you. Look at me. Look at me. I'm no linguist. Over the last couple of weeks, Facebook users have all become programming experts, arguing about whether or not new algorithms were changing the way the site functions. I saw that word so many times I began to get curious.
Word?
I have a vague idea of what we mean by algorithm, although I'd probably get my brain all twisted if I tried to explain it, but where does the word come from?
It's not your basic power chord.
Turns out it has a long history, so that's our word of the week. Algorithm. For this one, we have to go all the way back to the 9th century, and a mathematician in Baghdad named Abu Ja'far Muhammad ibn Musa al-Khwarizmi, or something like that. Al-Khwarizmi wrote a book with a title I won't embarrass myself by trying to pronounce, but its title was often shortened to the Arabic al-Jabr, which roughly translates as to reduce or to put broken parts back together.
Pick and roll into Kareem Abdul-Jabbar from Magic Johnson.
The book was an early treatise on mathematics, and when it was translated into Latin in the mid-16th century, became the source of the word algebra. Al-Jabbar becoming algebra. Of course, things started to change once the French got their hands on it.
Yeah.
They dreamt up the word algorithme to refer to the Arabic numeral system, and then in the late 17th century, used it to refer to an Arabic system of computation, or putting broken parts back together, what we call algebra.
Don't get confused, don't get frustrated. Our goal is to get the variable isolated.
In the 1950s, when we were finding ourselves in need of a bunch of new words, it was picked up again to simply mean any form of computation. Algorithm. But if I can take a bit more of your time, Clay, let's go back to the 15th and 16th century for a moment. Back when algebra meant putting things back together, the word did double duty in Europe as a medical term, referring to mending a broken bone. I wonder if your listeners have ever broken a bone.
I don't know.
I broke both my arms in college. But then, I was never any good at math. Back to you, Clyde.
Now here's Station Manager Ted with your Hump Day Hazmat Report.
Thank you, Clay Pigeon, Washington, D.C. A white powdery substance was discovered at the Washington, D.C. office of former President Barack Hussein Obama. South Plainfield, New Jersey, three workers were exposed to chemicals at the Genowitz Corporation. Genowitz is a biotechnology company specializing in molecular genetics, cloning, and plasmid DNA preparation. Seaside, Oregon, a mystery smell described as paint thinner prompted an investigation by the EPA. Benson High School, Arizona, a broken psychrometer and an ensuing mercury spill resulted in a hazmat response and a thorough cleaning of contaminated students. The teacher had been slinging weather when the psychrometer shattered, splattering the silver liquid metal all over the student body. JFK Airport, New York City, a broken MRI machine spewed hyperpolarized noble gases such as helium and nitrogen all over the airport. Travelers reported feeling as if they were on acorns. New York City, Mrs. Vanessa Trump Jr. hospitalized after opening...
Hold it, Station Manager Ken. There's the buzzer. Geez, mystery smells and broken psychrometers. It's dangerous out there. Let's go to the audience now. Do you want a bonus hazmat item today? Do you want it? They want it, Station Manager. Go!
Hickman, Kentucky! An underground gas leak and fire has blocked the road near the Little General Convenience Store.
There it is, your hazmat report.
As we watch the 2018 Winter Olympic Games in Pyeongchang,
getting off the top of the track very quickly indeed,
it's important for us to remember how much science contributes to the pursuit of the podium.
Science.
Today on Wake and Bake Science, we're going to talk about the science behind ski jumping.
She looks high and she looks beautiful.
Ever since Norwegian Olaf Rye amazed an audience back in 1808 by jumping a distance of 31 feet, athletes have braved high-speed rides down icy, steep slopes for just a few moments of flight. Through the use of wind tunnel static training and aerodynamic analysis, athletes are able to optimize their positioning in order to increase lift and reduce drag. Since wind resistance accounts for about 95% of the force stopping ski jumpers from going faster and ultimately farther, it's critical that they know which positions offer the most lift.
Lift and separate. Lift and separate.
The least resistance.
Please do not resist.
The people united.
Please do not resist.
And they practice holding those positions for competition.
Ski jumper.
Yes.
Ski jumper.
Yes.
Stay tuned to Wake and Bake for more science. Science.
George, we didn't expect this, but we've got callers, don't we?
Yes.
Where am I going? Okay.
We've got Alice, Hazel, and Celeste over here. Line two.
Who's this? Which one is it? Who am I
talking
to?
Line two, Alice, Hazel, and Celeste.
Hi, who's there? This is Clay Pigeon.
Hi, Clay Pigeon. It's Alice, Celeste, and Hazel calling from Brooklyn.
Oh, Alice, Hazel, and Celeste.
Yep.
What wonderful names you have.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Now, are you guys like the Supremes? Are you a girl group? What do? Are you performers?
No. We're a mom and two daughters getting ready to go to school.
So it's a mom and mom. Those are your two daughters.
Correct. Yes,
now, you must be terribly proud of them.
Well, I hope she is. You know, I am.
What's the hardest part about being a mom? What don't those two daughters understand when they complain about you? What don't they understand, Mom?
Oh, my gosh. You know, that is a good question. I suppose it's the lack of sleep.
I can relate to that. And girls, where does your mom need to improve? Where does Mom drop the ball and fall short a little bit?
Think hard.
I just totally lost him. Yeah. They're stymied. She's...
Well, I think that speaks volumes. If you can't come up with anything, I think I'm doing an okay job. Yeah, lady? Yeah.
Can you guys sing?
I know. Shopping.
Oh, shopping.
She always forgets the ice cream.
She doesn't bring home the ice cream. My mom never did either. And I'd ask her to bring home a soft drink, and she'd bring home Squirt. And I was like, that doesn't count. Can you guys do me a favor? Be a girl group, the three of you, and just do this for me. Go, la, 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 la. But do it together. Do it now, okay?
Okay. One, two, three. La, 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 la.
And then one more time as I slowly turn you down, and thanks for calling.
La, 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 la.
I love that. Celeste, wasn't it? And Alice and...
Hazel.
And Hazel. Geez, they were nice. I hope you guys call again. What are we, line one, Jordan?
Yes.
We got to get back to the That's music. Helping. I get talking to these people and I can't stop. Who's on my line one with Clay Pigeon?
Yo, Clay, it's Sheldon.
Sheldon, you sent us albums and I bet you're out there thinking he never even thanked me. But I did. You just didn't hear me. How you doing, Shell?
I'm good. I know you're a celebrity. You're a big, big, big shot radio DJ. That's okay. I still listen to you. You're still my friend.
You sent that Bill Nelson album, and Scott Williams just scooped that thing right out of my hands. He was very excited, Sheldon.
All right.
Sheldon, what's your advice for everyone today, Sheldon? I can't talk too long. I need to cut right to it. What's your advice and your words of wisdom for the listeners today, Sheldon?
Okay, make sure you drive safely because it's a little icy. And help people when you get a chance, all right?
It's as easy as that, Shell Game. You are so awesome, man. We love you here.
I just, 1 second. I just came back from the Green Mountain Sea. It's very nice up there. I'm thinking of relocating.
You are.
You can buy beer at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Is that
good pixie dust?
Is that important to you, Sheldon, being able to get that beer at 6 a.m.?
Getting real beer, not any beer.
Sheldon, right. I got to run, my friend. Can you just sing the highest note you can sing as I slowly turn you down? What the hell was that?
It's all right.
Jeez, okay. It's out of control, isn't it? Just a little bit out of control this morning.
Radio listeners, this is your favorite cheesemonger, Wendy Del Formaggio, with your weekly cheese report. Let's talk about fondue.
I may not be able to do it, but I'll try.
I won't give you the recipe because it's best to have it in print, and you can find it in a cookbook. But I can give you some tips.
Please.
One, it's best and less expensive to skip the pre-made fondue packs and buy your own cheese.
Now, my good man, some cheese, please.
Yes, certainly, sir. What would you like?
Well, how about a little Red Leicester?
I'm afraid we're fresh out of Red Leicester, sir.
Never mind.
The classic Swiss fondue three are Emmentaler, Gruyere, and Appenzeller. But don't be afraid to experiment.
Give my creation!
Throw in some Gouda or cheddar.
Peter, what are you doing?
Speaking Italian.
For Italian fonduta, which comes from the Piedmont, try Fontina Valdosta or Fontal.
Piedmont.
You can even throw in a little gorgonzola if you're feeling brave. Generally, stick with semi-firm cheeses. Nothing too soft like brie. Nothing too hard like Parmigiano.
Giovanni.
And don't use provolone. It's too stringy.
Put the warm, stretchy cheese through an extruder, cool it in a salt brine, and then cut. And then there you have stringy string cheese.
So, invite a few friends over and melt some cheese this weekend. Back to you, Clay.
I think I got a caller lined up here. Oh, and by the way, I'll never say anything about curling again, George. Geez, these people love curling. It might be the official sport of WFMU. Let's see who we have. It should be Christoph in Staten Island, if I'm lucky. Christoph, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Thanks so much for holding, Christoph. I know you've been on hold for a few minutes. You're in Staten Island, right?
Yes.
What do you do out there?
Well, I'm having breakfast, and I'm actually not really the one who said to call. It was my son. He's 5 years, and we listen every morning, having our cereal here. And he said, can we call? I said, sure, we can call. We tried yesterday, but you were too busy.
Right, it was Valentine's Day. And so your son's name is Lee?
Yes.
Is Lee there?
Lee is here.
Can we talk to Lee?
I doubt we will be successful. Lee, do you want to say something? He is extremely nervous, hiding under his blanket.
Is he? Oh,
but he said funny things. The one funny thing I thought was, right, Lee, the one time he said he wondered if Clay Pigeon was afraid of the dark because he's always on in the morning.
Right, and I come in, and the first thing I do is turn all the lights on. You know what, Lee? I'm not afraid of the dark. I found out that there's no reason at all to be scared of the dark. Is Lee afraid of the dark?
Are you? He actually is. He not? Yes, he is.
Well, you'll get over it. There's nothing to hurt you. I'm really glad you guys. Do you listen all the time there, Christoph?
Yes, every single morning, yes.
Oh, that's so nice. What do you do, Christoph?
I'm a landscaper.
A landscaper. Do you enjoy being outside that work?
Absolutely. Yeah, yesterday was my first day actually in the field. It was very nice and mild. It's nice. It's a nice job in the spring. It's hard in the summer and nice in the winter when I don't have to work at all.
Right. What do you want to say to all our listeners this morning, Christoph, for you and Lee? A message of goodwill and good cheer on this 15th of February.
What do you want to say, Lee? Something to the people?
Yeah,
They should be happy. They should go outside a lot, right? Play in the field and enjoy nature. That's one thing. Bonding with nature, I think, is good for everybody.
I know, and you really get to do it. Right.
And to be peaceful and one with nature is a big deal.
Christoph, I really appreciate your call. I need to run here, but thanks to you and Lee, and you guys have a great day, and call me again, okay?
Thank you. We will.
All right. Okay. Take care, little Lee.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
There he goes.
Okay.
The Free Music Archive pick of the week this week is called Teenage Freakout by The Mules. A frenetic four-piece band from Boston with tinges of art rock, garage, noise, and post-punk, The Mules toured a lot on the East Coast and didn't record much.
All right, we're going to take it from four and really burn, all right?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, cook! Hold it! Cut! Cut!
But this track is one of few known recordings of them. It's danceable early aughts punk, heavy on the keyboards and drums, and it's available for free streaming or download at freemusicarchive.org. Teenage Freakout by The Mules. We'll be right back.
Let's have a quick glance at today in history. This is Valentine's Day, Wednesday, February 14th, 2018. On this day in 1849 in New York City, James Knox Polk becomes the first serving president of the United States to have his photograph taken. He got so excited he had to poke himself. 1859, Oregon admitted as the 33rd U.S. state. 1912, Arizona follows suit as the 48th and last contiguous U.S. state. 2005, YouTube is launched by a group of college students, eventually becoming the largest video sharing website in the world and a main source for viral videos like these.
Double rainbow. Oh my God. It's a double rainbow all the way. Whoa! Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God! It's starting to even look like a triple rainbow. Oh my God, it's full on. Double rainbow all the way across the sky. Oh my God.
Happy birthday to you.
Grab a harmony now. Happy birthday to you. Look at all these birthdays. John Barrymore, born this day in 1882. Jack Benny, 1894. We're still in Aquarius, right? Jimmy Hoffa, he's out there in New Jersey somewhere under the ground. Where's he at? The end zone, a giant stadium. 1913, he was born. Hugh Downs. 1921, where the Downs boys go. Michael Bloomberg, former mayor of New York, happy birthday. Tim Buckley, happy birthday today. And Florence Henderson of those Bradys.
Here's the story of a lovely lady who was bringing up three very lovely girls.
Yeah!
All of them had hair of gold.
Like their mother, the youngest one in Christ.
That's it for me, Clay Pigeon. I'll catch you tomorrow morning, bright and early, 6 a.m. for another edition of Wake. Join me then.
Yes. Abe Lincoln was born on a Sunday morning on the banks of the Mississippi. A message was sent to the president. It said, "Sir, you better get here quickly." A floated President Taft on a special rubber raft. Kind Indians helped him to the shore. Abe's mother and father were wealthy and they lived in DeKalb.
His father invented Lincoln Logs
in his spare time.
Yes, where's this baby?
Are you President Taft?
Eunice, don't bother him.
I am President Taft, fore and aft.
You're large.
Eunice.
You're larger than I imagined you'd be.
Eunice, please don't insult the President.
No, she's not insulting me at all.
I came to see the child.
You want to see the little child?
Well, of course he does, Eunice. Show him the baby.
He's 2 feet long.
He's got a little hat, doesn't he? A little.
Yes,
stovepipe hat.
Eunice, we'll be getting rid of that hat.
Every time they took that hat off of Abraham's head, he cried. So his mother said, "Don't take his hat off, leave it on his head,
leave it on his head."
President Taft sailed away as Abraham's mother waved goodbye frantically from the shore.
Yes, and then we headed to California for the gold rush.
The Lincolns went to California. They were up before dawn.
They were up and gone.
They spent the first night in Iowa City, where Little Abe met Wernher von Braun. And the next day they saw a bird painting man. It was John James Audubon. And the next day they went a little farther till at last they arrived in Omaha. And Little Abe's mother cried,
"Hey, what's your hurry?"
When she saw Lewis and Clark, they were heading up the old Missouri in the dark. Abe's mother said to him,
"I want Sacagawea to see ya. I want Sacagawea to see ya, Abe.
Sacagawea will never come to shore. It's too dark and you can't see anymore."
"Yes, but maybe Clark could paddle in, then we could show Little Abe to him. Then he could paddle out again."
"Yes, and catch up with the expedition. Do a little fishing on your way.
They'll be happy to see ya with a nice fillet. Especially Sacagawea. I'd love you to meet her. She's a Capricorn.
She's a catfish eater." They're gone.
Or didn't they want to see little Abraham?
I guess not, darling.
Everybody loves a baby.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
How tall is he now?
Oh, he's 2'4".
2'4"?
Yes.
That's half as tall as I.
You're only 4'8".
That's 1744.
Oh, yes, men were shorter. Men were shorter than
yes.
Average. Oh, I must have fallen in love with your shadow.
My shadow?
Your shadow.
My shadow.
Yes, it's longer.
My shadow.
Let's go to Colorado. Mr. Long Shadow.
Your shadow is... It is 5'9". I'm measuring it all the time.
There it is, the thing we seek.
It sure ain't Denver.
And it ain't Pike's Peak. There it is, the diaper den.
The diaper den.
Yes, we gotta get Little Abe some diapers.
But we're behind schedule.
Little Abe's ahead of schedule.
Again.
He's growing.
He's going all the time.
Everyone has to eliminate.
Oh, shh.
Everyone has to eliminate
negativity
from their lives. Spend a few minutes in the diaper den,
and you will be a better husband
and wife.
I see you talk.
Yes, just ahead.
I see the pillow
where Brigham Young lays his head.
Do you see what I saw?
You talk?
Yes.
How much longer will it take till we're standing on the shores of the Great Salt Lake?
The Great Salt Lake.
It's full of salt.
Briny.
Great
Salt
Lake.
Yes.
The baby's hungry.
How do you know?
The way he scratches his face.
I think he just needs to go to California. Out west.
And they took him
out west.
Pinned a badge on his vest.
I sat there thinking.
What were you thinking?
Thinking I was the father of Sheriff Abe Lincoln,
who had grown to be a man. He'll show them what it means to be a man.
He walked many miles to return a single cent.
Friends, those are the makings of a president.
I do believe the boy could be
the president.
Really?
Yes.
He's opened my eyes to see. And I do believe.
I do too.
He said a lot
of people.
Yes.
He will always go down.
In history. Won't you, eh?
Yes, Father.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Go fetch us four score bars. Abe, not Heath bars. Four score bars.
Four score?
Yes.
You've been listening to the Wake and Bake Morning Show podcast. Did you enjoy it?
Yes.
Good. It's a weekly digest of the special features and moments which make up the Wake and Bake Morning Show.
Woo!
After all, you wouldn't want to miss special moments like this.
Ah, you're in a good mood today, aren't you?
Oh!
The Wake and Bake Morning Show. Set your alarm and join us each Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. on WFMU.org. A little too early for you? Catch the archive show, which you can find easily on WFMU's homepage each day. I'm Clay Pigeon. They call me the Pigeon. Join me each morning for the full show, either on the radio or online at WFMU.org. And keep glistening.